This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratum.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody f***ing likes.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to a new podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Of course, it's the Charterhouse Real Estate Podcast. Nice. Thanks for the t-shirt, Mark.
You bet. You got to wear it though.
No, I will. I'll wear it. I can't today. I gotta go put a tie on later and stuff, but I'll wear it tomorrow.
We're actually going to get some others made, but I said I wouldn't do it unless it was soft.
You're obsessed with soft
t-shirts.
Well,
people give you business t-shirts all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they throw them out of parades or whatever, and it's that stiff material that you never want to wear.
Cheap as you can get. And
so even if somebody, you know, took a t-shirt from us and just wore it to bed, at least they're wearing it. So that's not bad.
Yeah. You're advertising to your wife.
You are.
In bed.
The joke is because we just did... a little sponsorship for the Heart Walk that was in Des Moines a couple weeks ago. And you learn these things in marketing as you go forward. But as part of the sponsorship, we got balloons. And the balloons are white balloons with our red CH logo. And after seeing them blowing up all over this plaza, I'm like, hey, that looks really good. But hundreds of people are walking around right now going, what the hell is Chuh?
Yeah.
What is Chuh? So we got to educate people. And I said, maybe next time we'll add the web address underneath the Chuh to drive them. But so now that's the new joke here around, like, we work at Chuh, you know.
Well, I like it.
It's all good. The name's on the back.
Adam Gray is on vacation, but we've upgraded the podcast
significantly.
Today. And a mutual friend of ours, Chris Connolly from the Iowa Event Center, is here. And, man, like, I feel like we should have brought Chris some 5-hour energy
or a pillow,
something like that, or like just some Red Bull or anything after the okay, is the Garth Brooks is over. Are you happy? Are you sad that Garth Brooks weekend is over?
It's kind of a mix.
Yeah.
It really is. It's almost like the NCAA tournament, right? It's like you work hard and long to get something like that here. It's both great events. Garth Brooks, I mean, we've never done anything like it before.
Mm-hmm.
6 sold out shows. 91,000 paid tickets, back-to-back doubleheader nights, just stuff that we've never done before. And I think we got a really good team, and I think we did a good job. We had some challenges, obviously, on Friday and Saturday. We had rain, cooler temperatures. The good thing is about Des Moines, the downtown was booming. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Garth Brooks, iCubs, Drake Relays, Civic Center event on Saturday night. So definitely a lot of challenges, but I think they're the good types of problems. But yeah, I mean, it's a long time in the making to get a show like Garth Brooks into town and then execute. And now that it's gone, it's like, man, I'm kind of happy because it is time consuming and it's, man, it's a lot. It's an all hands on deck and our staff did an awesome job. But I kind of miss it because he's so awesome. I mean, if anybody that has seen the show, I haven't heard one person not have a good time at Garth Brooks.
Other than Chris Williams.
Don't.
He's like, don't start.
People are misconstruing my take on like Garth Brooks. It's because I love the man so much.
Yeah.
Like I had it. It was still probably the best concert I've ever been to.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
But, like, I had this thing built up in my mind there was no way he could have lived up to it, and it's a compliment to the man. Like his, like I was telling you beforehand, like because Mark, you're not a huge like Garth Brooks fan, and Mark was asking me,
not at all,
should I go? And I was like, yes, this is like a bucket list. This is I mean, a who's who of live performances.
It's just fun, right?
Yeah.
He's got charisma that you just can't describe, and it's like
how he connects with the audience.
Well, it's not like it's
no question.
What mid-50s? How old is he?
He might be 56.
He's got energy that's more like geared for a much younger person.
But it's like you talk about the tie-ins to sports, and this guy is fit. I mean, to do what he just did, I mean, a doubleheader on a Friday, doubleheader on a Saturday, single on Sunday, gets a day off on Monday and goes up to Canada for a private event.
Oh,
and,
did he really?
And then plays on Tuesday night here.
I didn't know that he went to Canada on
Monday. He did.
Somebody's birthday. He did,
yeah, I'm not sure what it was, but the tie into sports is that he threw the javelin for Oklahoma State in 1984 here at the Drake Relays.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy's a fit guy and he's healthy, and I don't know. I mean, that helps him perform like this. There's not too many people I know, artists, that could do something like this.
No.
He's got like 15 shows in 16 days or something. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
One of the reasons I like Chris so much and ask you to come on is like I love the concert world. I mean, that's what you live in. You get to meet these people, talk to them, etc. You mentioned the private event, and I've heard rumors over the years of major artists playing birthday parties for people and stuff like that. Hypothetically speaking, if I had $1 million and I wanted to throw myself a birthday party and I wanted to get any artist out there to come play 5 songs at my house and offered $1 million, could I get almost anybody?
I think you could. I mean, it's a lot more artists are more willing to do that, but you put the money out there and depending on what the actual event is and the cause, and they'll do it. And obviously it's a lot more expensive than going to play a show. You play a show, there's what we call walkout money, right? They get a guarantee to step foot on stage. And then if they sell a lot of tickets, they make more money, and they also make money off merchandise. And then usually they work with the building to get some kind of rebate back off based off of us making a ton of money off food and beverage and parking and suites and all that. So when you go to a private event, you don't get any of that walkout type money. So the guarantee to come play your party or corporate event or whatever is way, way up. And that's why even when you talk about concert industry and like how things work, even the difference between Wells Fargo Arena and how we book shows and even the state fairgrounds, it's a humongous difference. It really is. I mean, Gary Slater and the state fair, I mean, they're booking these big time shows virtually to break even. That's why you see these ticket prices that are a lot lower. Mm-hmm. Their guarantees are a lot higher because the artists don't have a great opportunity to make any walkout money there. So Gary's got a different model. I mean, he wants to just get people on his fairgrounds. And if he can break even for a show and these people are coming in, he's happy. I on the other end, I'm not booking shows to break even. You know, we're booking shows to make money.
So at the state fair, so really they're hoping you go buy the $6 corn dog before or after the event. That's the reason the concerts are existing.
All of it. I mean, you look at it, his capacity, what, 9,000-10,000 people in the grandstands, and that's that many people specifically coming for that show.
Yeah.
You know you're making a night of it. You know you're coming in hours early. You're probably staying a little bit afterward. And that's his deal. It really is.
That's always intriguing to me. It's somebody told me once that McDonald's is not a company that makes money off of cheeseburgers. They make money off of real estate. They put these McDonald's up and then they charge rents or whatever for people, for franchisees to come buy them. And we think they get rich off of Big Macs and burgers and whatever, but they don't. They get rich off of real estate. It's kind of that same principle where you're not making the money off what you think you're making the money off of. It's something else. It's a means to an end.
Explain that McDonald's thing to me one more time. So they're like
McDonald's is a successful franchise.
Correct, but they're like renting space out to...
Well, a lot of times, I mean, the owner might not own the land. McDonald's might come in and buy the land, build the building, and then they're charging a lot to rent that space, et cetera. So they're making their money off of basically their landlord. Think of McDonald's in that term.
Yep.
And you think McDonald's makes money by selling millions of hamburgers. They don't. I mean, that goes to the franchisee, but they're getting rich because someone's there, and McDonald's typically don't go out of business.
Okay.
So it's a pretty safe bet that it's going to be there 30 years down the road.
Yeah, that makes
Makes sense.
What is, I'm fascinated always about the behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I know you well enough. And when we're not recording something with microphones in our face, sometimes you might name a name, but you don't have to hear it. But I'm always interested about what you've seen as far as interesting things. Maybe you've seen like on concert writers, people come in, just some of the requests you've seen. Specifically in this case, you just said Garth went to Canada for Monday, but what the heck was he doing like in between the shows for Friday and Saturday when he was doing the double headers? How long did that take, the turnaround? I'm just interested in some of that behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so it's pretty well known that Garth's got his own jet. and he does. And we know for a fact that after he came in on Friday, later in the afternoon, he actually had a press conference, and a lot of members of the media were in. And man, that's unique in itself. That doesn't happen, okay? Mm-hmm. He comes in, flies in, meets with the media, met with every single person that was in there, one-on-ones, interviews, all of it. He's a genuine person. Mm-hmm. We, the building, our staff, we had a chance to spend some time with him after that. We presented him with a gift, thanked him for coming, shakes everyone's hand. When I met him, he asked me if we've ever met before. And I said, yeah, we actually have in Philly. And he knew the year, 1997.
Wow.
Because that's one of the last times he played Philly.
Yep.
And way back when, we presented him with an Eric Lindros Philadelphia Flyers jersey.
Nice.
And he was that specific about knowing it. And I was an intern then in 1997.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool. But we know that he played Friday night and he went back to Nashville. As far as the rest of it goes, we know he went to Canada. And we kind of think he went back and forth just about every night. I mean, I think wheels up, wheels down is about an hour.
Really?
So, I mean, he was probably in bed before most of the nights, most of the staff.
That's incredible. I just thought he would sit in an RV and
Hotel.
I think they did. I mean, the crew obviously books hotel rooms and stuff like that. But, you know, Garth, and, you know, he's got family. He's got kids. The kids are getting older now, but he's a participant in what they're doing. And, you know, if you can get home in an hour, I mean, that's no different than a lot of these people commuting to wherever they're going after the show. So I think he did a lot of that. And then you look at it and playing six shows in five nights. I mean, you probably needed that. Sleep in your own bed. Not too bad.
Yeah. Wow. So he's getting done at like 2:30 in the morning. He's probably getting back to Nashville. You lose an hour.
Yep.
4 or 5 in the morning. 5 in the morning. Sleeps for 6-7 hours and flies back.
Yeah. And still, I mean,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
What a life.
If he sleeps that long. But
yeah, man, that's true.
You know, we see some of that stuff. But like I said, the press conference was really neat. He's just a genuine person. Went and talked to everybody, spent the time. It's important for him to do that. He does it everywhere he goes. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But as far as some of the stuff he did, I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear much of him being out. And I don't think he could have with that kind of schedule. I mean, it's out of control.
Yeah.
I'm tired and I'm not performing. So I can only imagine, you know, and I think. The thing about Garth, and you know, we watched him close on Tuesday night, he gives you everything he has, and you can see that he's done his last song as part of the encore. The guy's spent.
Yeah,
he is spent, and that's unique. I mean, we've seen some shows, and I've seen a lot of shows where, you know, you see somebody and they're not at their A game. I've never heard or seen Garth Brooks not at anything but his A game.
I was shocked because that was his first show on Friday. Just as much he was like yelling and screaming. I'm like, you got 6 shows to do, bud.
Yeah, pace yourself a little.
Better
bit,
cool it down a little.
What did you think? You didn't really know what to expect going in.
So here was the thing that I walked away with. I was joking with my wife because we got the opportunity through Jason probably at the arena down there who handled your suites to buy a suite for Friday night and took him up on that offer. I was joking to my wife. It's like you talk a lot about how the other half lives, right? You're like, there's no difference between how the other half lives. And then we drive down there that night. It's packed. Everyone's waiting to get in. And we pull in. We have a parking pass. We pull in. We get a parking pass. Then you go in the VIP entrance. So, like, you pass all these people that are waiting outside. Mm-hmm. You go upstairs. You got a big room to hang out in. The bathrooms are no big deal. They're right down the hall. It's like, sign me up, man. Sign me up. I like that stuff. I get the appeal of the suites. And the suite we had was right by the stage. So we had a good view from there as well. So, but the show, I recognize 4 songs that he sang.
Seriously?
4.
Just 4, huh?
How could you only recognize? Even like
Standing Outside the Fire, The Dance,
man, all of his stuff,
Friends in Low Places.
So and, mainstream.
And one other. But I actually recognize 3.
Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up?
No.
You had to have known
3,
that song.
I recognize 3 of Trish's.
Yep.
So 7 songs I recognize. But, you know, again, if you're in a suite, you're eating food, you're drinking beer, you're talking or whatever.
I'm not a suite guy, so I utilized, with all due respect to Miss Earwood, I utilized that as the go get another beer time of the show for me. But
how do I live without you? You know, that's I know that's
my wife,
front
though,
to
like,
back.
It's funny because my wife going into the show was more looking forward to Trisha Yearwood. She grew up just worshiping Trisha Yearwood.
She can sing, guys.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Those pipes. She can sing.
That was an interesting.
It's, isn't it crazy, though, Chris, that she, like, she's just 4 songs. Like, she could probably sell out a lot of arenas on her own across the country.
There's no question. I mean, she's truly part of the main act. I mean, she's not an opening act, right? Mm-hmm. She comes in, and for Garth and all the energy that that he uses up. It's like he needs that little bit of break there, you know, when she comes on, and then she comes on and it's that voice and it's incredible and you know her songs.
Yeah.
I mean, she could be a headliner. She was a headliner.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about some of the top vocalists. I mean, she's up there and she's always been there.
Yeah.
That's pretty special. You get both of them. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Had you seen a stage set up like Garth before? To describe it, it was a little bit like a concert in the round, but the stage was down at the end where the stage normally is. And the difference was normal stage setup, you have big curtains that go all the way up to kind of hide backstage. They had none of that. So there were seats behind the stage that were being sold. I'd never seen that before.
I've seen it. You know, a lot of your top artists, a good comparison, a band that I've seen is U2. They did the same thing. It's an end stage, so they're at the one end, you know, and then it's the 360, and then they're able to really be able to play to those that are right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting backstage, I mean, you're 30 feet from Garth Brooks, so it's a pretty good seat. But I think it falls in the category of these artists that know they can sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to set it up that way, whether it's in the round or 360 end stage. They sell the tickets, and then they're used to it. I mean, you guys saw Garth. He's walking to the back. He's walking to the sides. I mean, mm-hmm. he's engaged with it. We would not get one complaint from somebody sitting behind him because truly, those folks are probably closer to him than anybody else, except for the front row.
For sure. I was curious, too, in your opinion, who else in the music industry could have done what Garth just did? Sold out the six shows, 91,000 seats.
Yep.
There's only got to be a small handful of people that would fit that bill.
Man, you look at it and number one, I don't know that there's many or another artist out there that's doing doubleheaders to that level. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it. I don't know who could do it.
Isn't the appeal to him that he took off all that time? I mean, he didn't tour for how? I mean, the only time you could see Garth is if he went to Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. That's huge. And I think even someone like me, you know, I saw him in 1997 in Philly. And I remember before I saw his first show, like the build-up and everybody was going nuts. And I didn't get it because I wasn't big country. And I just wasn't in the country back then.
Yeah.
You know, and then I took the time and I watched that first show. I think he played four or five nights in a row in Philly. And I'm just like, man, this guy.
Man, in 97 he was doing that too.
He
huh?
was.
Wow.
Yeah. He wasn't in Philly. He wasn't doing the back-to-backs. And in some of these markets, like he'll be in Fargo tonight. He'll open up tonight. But the Fargo Dome, I think it's about 21,000 seats. So he's not doing any doubleheaders. He'll go Thursday through Sunday singles. And Philly was bigger too, right? So he didn't have to do the doubleheaders. But the first time I saw him, I'm like, now I get what everybody was talking about. It's just, again, it's the charisma. It's the stage presence.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer. I mean, you talk about the songs that you know. Well, what about the covers?
Mm-hmm.
What about bringing guys up on stage? Like every show that he has is different.
Yeah, did you know the Dallas Clark thing was going to happen?
I did, because we heard, we didn't know exactly what was going on, but he sound checked. He was there. I saw him at five of the six shows. I'm sure he was there Tuesday night. I didn't see him Tuesday.
Wow.
That's a fan right there.
But it was fun, you know? Yeah. I mean, he's not the best singer of all time, but it's like he was into it, and he's a country fan, and obviously he's promoting that show, you know, over at Iowa City.
Yeah.
And he got along well with Garth, and Garth's great. Like, I don't know how you couldn't get along with him, but it's just another element to that show that makes it fun. He's doing Seeger covers. I mean, it makes you feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite show? You saw most of them. Was one better than some of the others? Since I only saw one. Chris only saw one.
You know, so the Friday and Saturday, you know, like I talked about, they were the doubleheader nights, and I didn't spend a lot of time watching them. We'd see the end, you know, because we got everybody in, and it's like you take a breath. But on Sunday night and Tuesday night, we had a chance to really watch most of the show. Sunday was great. You had Dallas as part of that. Garth, just one show. Everybody's kind of fired up because they know there's no time constraints.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He plays the early show in the doubleheader. Header and you're getting your money's worth, but if you're at a later show or he's on a one-off, it's how he's feeling, and he'll keep going, and that's kind of cool. Everybody knows it. Like even us that are working there, we're like, "Is this it? Is this it?" You don't know, and he just keeps going. And I'll tell you, on Sunday and Tuesday night, he just kept going. When he was done on Tuesday night, and he walked off stage, he had nothing left. If he had more left, he probably would have played another tune because the crowd was that into it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's
awesome.
Cool. I'm excited. I always like it when the WWE comes to town, Mark.
I'm not. More power to you.
Don't make fun of me. They're coming to town next week. Have you ever met Vince McMahon?
I have met Vince McMahon.
How was he?
He's good.
Good guy.
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming in. They're trying to sell tickets. They're building a brand. We've been lucky in Des Moines. I mean, you know, you talk about Des Moines. You talk about the six sold-out shows for Garth Brooks. And we touched on this a little bit. But it's like, you know, the things that we're bringing in here are selling. And people are taking notice of that. And it's big. It should make Des Moines and the region proud. And it's really enabling us to run a strong business. NCAA basketball comes in and we sell out immediately. Wrestling in 15 minutes. And you can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a ton of competition out there with all these good buildings that are popping up. And, you know, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I don't think we're going anywhere. I think it's only getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked a little bit offline about, you know, Garth Brooks and what the expectations were from his camp. They were blown away that they sold out six shows in Des Moines. That was not the expectation, I'll tell you that, guys. And I'm not so sure that I thought we could get there. And I think from what we saw, the demand was strong enough to even go further than six. Yeah. But with his schedule, he kind of moved on. But I'll tell you what, in my world, in the concert world, it's a big statement. It really is. It's a
That's
big
huge.
Statement.
One of the bad things about Des Moines, and Des Moines' great. Des Moines' growing in a lot of ways. We're getting new buildings downtown. You know, they're talking about doing things in the river, whatever. So Des Moines has come a million miles from where it was when I was growing up around here. But as a concert fan, it's still frustrating that we, you know, get passed over a lot for the Omahas and the Kansas Cities on some of these tours. And part of that is capacity of building. Part of it is routing, all of that stuff. But do you think, based on selling out six shows and all that, we're making strides in the right direction where people will start adding Des Moines and hearing good things about us?
I'll tell you this. As far as capacity, you know, we're not getting passed over for capacity. That's not happening.
I was going to say, like, I can't even think, Mark, of being passed up lately.
No.
Because we've had... I mean, well, freaking Garth Brooks. I'm trying to think of any top stars.
Well, there's a couple things.
Like a Katy Perry tour, yep. Like last time she was going.
And it's that's not a capacity thing. There's a couple things to look at. I mean, again, you're looking, you know, a building our size and a market. Take a look at the market, too. So it's like we're Des Moines, Iowa. So who are we competing against? We're competing against Omaha, bigger market. Yeah. Clearly bigger market. Minneapolis, St. Paul, two great buildings up there. Kansas City, St. Louis. That's where we are. And you put us on paper with some of those, and it's like they're bigger markets. They are. They just have more people, more opportunity to purchase tickets, and it's tough. That's where our competition is. With that being said, it's not a capacity issue. What they love about us is we have some talented people that market our shows, and we sell our shows, and we get out there. And a lot of it has to do with you guys, the media, and people that we work with. There's a lot of pride around here. When stuff comes in, you know, we're going to do it right, and we're going to sell it because we know if we continue to do that, we'll get more. So that's one thing that when a promoter or agent or artist comes in, they love Des Moines. They love it. They know we're going to make it easy on them. And then we're going to bust our butt to sell the event. And then we make it easy to settle. And then they're like, hey, that was a great place to play. So that's why we're right in that mix. We shouldn't be in the mix with those cities that I just mentioned, but we are. When we lose some of these shows, just keep this in mind, too. We have a very busy arena schedule. I mean, on an annual basis, you're taking a look at three state championships. We have wrestling, girls basketball, boys basketball, taking up full weeks right there. Our annual shows, family shows, Disney on Ice, Monster Jam. And then we have three tenants. I mean, you look around, nobody's doing stuff like that. Look it over at the Sprint Center. They made a decision. They would have had a great chance to get AHL in there. They didn't. They're waiting for something bigger. I don't quite understand that. For us, I'll take the guarantee dates and teams and the relationships, and it's great for sponsors and premium seat holders, but that's part of it too. We got a busy event schedule, so when you see Katy Perry going to Omaha, it may just be because we didn't have a date.
How do you guys first find out about what's happening? I've always been curious about that too. Like when Katy Perry launches, how do you find out she's about to tour? And then you have an opportunity to maybe try to get a show.
Yeah, we're right on the line there. You know, when something's going out or something's in the works, we find out about it. You know, so the company that I work for, Spectre, it's a private management company. You know, we manage over 140 buildings across the United States and Canada, over 50 arenas. And, you know, we have a call biweekly where we share all this information. If something's out there, and it may not necessarily be to a local GM like me in Des Moines, Iowa, our corporate folks know. And they're sending a note out and they're like, here's what's going on. So we have that. As soon as something's in the works, we know what's going on. And we usually have an idea, like, you know, if we have a chance of getting it or not. So that's great. And that's a big advantage versus, you know, way back when the Iowa Event Center was getting built, Polk County had to make a decision. All right, what are we doing here? When it was just Veterans Memorial Auditorium and the convention complex, they were running it. Mm-hmm. Well, they had to make a difficult decision to say, hey, listen, we're going to go to private management. Well, boom, that's a huge perk right there, going to private management. This is what we do for a living. We book shows, we bring in entertainment, we have those relationships. And government agencies, whether it's city, county, or whatnot, they're at a disadvantage there because they're just not. They're not. They have other focuses, and that's not their primary focus. So, you know, you laud Polk County, and they've supported this. And, you know, I've been in a lot of different places, guys, with Spectre, and it's like I have not been in a better situation than what I'm in now here in Polk County with an owner that really understands what's going on that gives us the means. I mean, to get NCAA basketball, mm-hmm. we weren't getting it with that old scoreboard, guys. You know, we just weren't. So, you know, we got approval to spend some capital dollars, you know, $2.6 million to get a brand new scoreboard in, outside marquees, new sport lighting in Wells. Like, that stuff is essential. You're talking about TV. I mean, TV's everything with March Madness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we stayed status quo and didn't upgrade, we're not getting it. So that's Polk County, a credit mm-hmm. to them. The good thing on our end, we got great staff. We're turning a profit.
Yeah.
And I don't see that changing. I mean, we're turning a profit on the convention center where that's almost unheard of. They usually operate in the red and you make up money on economic impact dollars. We're operating in the black and the economic impact's been huge. So we're really lucky in having Polk County as the owner.
Do we get a Comic-Con again?
We do. Wizard World's coming up next weekend, actually.
Is it really?
It is. It's like, earlier this
how
year.
Did, how My did God, that sell? I did, just I in didn't general, know that. Like really well, or
it was a monster.
Really,
and that's another one that
a lot of dorks out there. And I went. I'm going to admit, I went. I wanted to check it out, and I thought it was actually fun.
I didn't get to go last year. I want to go this year.
Well, what was cool to me is like, and they weren't huge stars, but there were quite a few celebrities
There's
available.
No question. I mean, you have guys like William Shatner, and just that whole that is not my world. Yeah. It's a lot of other people's. And I'll tell you what, when they came last year, I mean, it was unbelievable. We opened doors, I think, at 4 o'clock on that Friday, and we had people lining up at like 2 o'clock. We're like, where are these people coming from? We didn't have staff ready yet, you know.
And a lot of them are dressed up.
But it's awesome. Again, it's not just Des Moines. You know, we have people coming from out of town, but it's like you just put up a big number. They contracted with us last year on site, on the spot, because of what they saw.
Oh, really?
We didn't have a guaranteed contract for this year.
That's fantastic.
So I thought that was pretty neat. But that's Des Moines again, stepping up.
What do you hope to see? And it's out of your control, obviously. But what do you hope to see around the arena? I think one of the knocks in general is if you want something to eat, you got Buzzer Billy's. That's it for the most part. Parking's a bit of an issue, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
There's talk of new hotels. In a perfect world, what needs to happen around the arena? What's possible around the arena?
And I think the progress is going to be gradual, and it's starting to amp up a little bit. Number one, the attached hotel has to happen. It's finally come to fruition. They started construction on that, and that's going to open in the spring of 18. That's a big, big deal for us guys. That's a game changer.
How many rooms is that going to be?
It's going to be 330. It's going to be a Hilton. It's going to be beautiful. And in that, you ask about food options. It's going to have a restaurant bar in there. That the way we've looked at it, and you know, we're involved in the planning along with the CVB and county partnership. People are going to come and eat in that restaurant that aren't staying in the hotel, and that's the idea. That thing's going to drive business, and it's going to be great. So you have the restaurant bar in the hotel. You got Buzzard Billy's. Buzzards is doing a great job. I can't say enough good things about those guys.
Oh, they picked a good spot.
They picked a good spot, but they've embraced it. There were mm-hmm. people that owned that spot before, and they didn't operate like that.
Yeah.
So can't say enough good things about Buzzards.
That was huge when they opened up the basement, too.
No question.
For the
March Madness.
Yeah,
and the bigger events like Garth.
Yeah.
Look, they're running a good business. They're maximizing what they can do there. We got a great relationship with them. They know. I mean, everybody looks at the glamour events, your WWE, your Garth Brooks and all that, but the convention center. I mean, there's something going on every day of the week, and these people need to eat.
Just dance contests and stuff like that. Yeah.
You know, all of it. So they get it. But what I would say is, so the hotel is coming in. It's locked and loaded. The financing's there. It's going to get up, and it's going to be beautiful. That's going to spur on more development. And what we've looked at, and we've looked at this concept a lot, you go to Los Angeles, you go to Kansas City, it's the restaurant bar district, like your live type thing. And we have the grounds. I mean, right across the street from Hy-Vee Hall to the south, you got those two private parking lots, the Keck lots, that where people park. There's ground there to do something like that. Mm-hmm. We've met with the Cordish group that have kind of developed this live concept. Our corporate headquarters back in Philadelphia, they have something similar to that. They got a great sports complex with the Eagle Stadium, the Philly Stadium, mm-hmm. and then the Flyers and Sixers play in the Wells Fargo Center. And they knocked down the old Spectrum and built this Xfinity Live. They have like five theme bars, PBR bar, mm-hmm. outside stages and like that kind of thing. And I think we need to get to that level. Maybe not as strong as what they have in Philly because we don't have as many people. But more bars and restaurants right there would help everything.
I think what you're describing, is that a lot like Power and Light in Kansas City?
It is.
And then they also have one in Louisville because what I noticed when I was down there at the NCAA tournament, it's all the same bars as the Power and Light district down in Kansas City. So it's all owned by the same.
It is. It's that same group. It's Cordish that has that team, has the mind. They've been into Des Moines.
See, now you're speaking to Iowa State fans because they know all about the Power and Light
district. They do,
absolutely. What's cool about Power and Light, though, is you can be, it's outdoors, but it's still heated the way they did the roofs and stuff.
It's same thing in Philly. These guys, I mean, they have it down. They know what it's going to take. I mean, a lot of these places, it's half the year is cold weather. So you have to be ready for that, especially at nighttime. But I think that's kind of what we're looking at. What's interesting too, is in the last couple of years, we've had Quarters come in and look at us and do a study. They were ready to move forward with doing something around the arena before the attached hotel was even committed on. So that says a lot.
That's huge. Yeah.
They did their work. They did their studies. And just a couple of years since they've been here, it's gone way up.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, I think that's where we're heading. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
I'm excited that I'm still fairly young enough to enjoy some of this stuff. I mean, I won't be the guy going to the bar.
You got another kid coming though, man.
I know.
I mean, you're counting your days now, dude.
I'm kind of excited about some upcoming events. Give you a chance to plug what is coming up this
WWE,
summer.
WWE, baby.
Other than WWE, you got some fun concerts coming in. What do you want to hype?
We got a great lineup coming up. Chris mentioned WWE, and that's still out there. You know, that's SmackDown on the 10th, May 10th. There's still tickets available, and that'll be a great show. And I think I kind of got off target a little bit, but we were talking about how strong Des Moines is as a market. Well, WWE is a perfect example. We're getting two televised shows a year.
Yeah.
And we never got that before. And we kind of cut a deal with those guys. You know, we lowered our rent, did some different things. And we're like, look, if you trust us and you pop two in a year, we'll produce for you. And they've seen that. So to get two of those shows in a year where other markets are just hoping for one, that's been awesome. And again, that's the power of the market in Des Moines. So you got WWE on May 10th. You have Boston, Kansas, Blue Oyster Cult on June 2nd. Going to be a great show. It started out as a lower bowl show and we opened up seats upstairs.
Yeah.
So it's really selling. It'll be a good night. You got Justin Bieber. Is basically sold out June 22nd.
Mark's a huge guy.
Well, no, I wouldn't say he's my guy, but let's face the facts. He's got some catchy stuff on the radio right now.
That's your boy, Mark.
I'm just hoping that it's been, what, 2 years, 3 years since he was last here?
Yeah,
at least
a couple years
since the time when
I'm hoping there's been a little maturity that's happened over the past few years,
man,
and he shows up on time.
You don't need that. Just let Biebs be Biebs, man.
Biebs is not Axl Rose.
Why
he doesn't need to act like Axl.
You're trying to change Biebs?
I'll tell you what, he's popular and he can sell.
He's a hell of a performer too, from what I've heard.
But he's eliminated the meet and greets. I read that. He's not doing those currently.
Yeah, he's not. He got rid of those.
All those crazy girls, man.
Apparently.
But a couple other things that we have over the summer. Jim Gaffigan, comedian.
How's that selling?
July 31st. It's the lower bowl show, and it'll be full in the lower bowl. And that's a big deal for comedians because they don't do a lot of arena tours.
Yeah,
some of the top ones do.
Yeah.
Gaffigan's great. He was here a couple years ago in the Civic Center. He sold out two back-to-back shows, so he's solid. And then in August, we got some different things going on. You know, we have Journey and the Doobie Brothers, and then we also have Slipknot with Marilyn Manson, and both of those shows are selling well.
Slipknot, okay, so it was a couple WWEs ago. I had my seat was right next to Corey Taylor. He's the lead singer of Slipknot, right?
Yep, Des Moines guy.
I didn't know who he was. I sat there with him for 3.5 hours.
That's interesting.
With him and his kid, and he was awesome. Like we chatted the whole time. I didn't know who he was.
They wear masks, right? The whole time they perform. Slipknot, you don't know his face.
Well, the reason I found out who he was is that you know who Chris Jericho is? He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, Chris Jericho comes up and hugs this guy and like gives his kid like an armband or something. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
Who are you?
Yeah.
And some guy then wants a photo with Corey Taylor. And and he goes, and I go, who is that? Like, And he told me. I was like, I'll be damned.
Slipknot.
I had no idea.
I'm going to try to make it to Journey.
It's going to be a good show.
I'm a fan, and I've seen the documentary with their new singer.
Yep.
And the guy can sing. You know, doesn't sound like Steve Perry, but he's good.
That's a good summer show. And then you look at Slipknot. I mean, the guys are local, right? So you got Slipknot with Marilyn Manson. I mean, you talk about some people watching and some good entertainment.
Christmas.
So we're psyched. I mean, we were kind of slow last summer, but to have those shows dropped in there, and then you roll right into early fall. In September, we have Florida Georgia Line.
Mm-hmm.
And then October, we have Carrie Underwood, who's going to play for the first time in the round, which is a totally different stage set.
That's a different world.
You talk about a talented person, man, she can sing.
Yeah.
And she's been here a couple times. So we got a pretty good lineup coming up.
When you say in the round, is that like what George Strait does?
Exactly right. Okay. So she'll be in the center and everything
and it just
will be
spins around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
good stuff. Do you think fans love it just because a lot of the time they're facing her back? I mean, do they care? I mean, is this, the proximity's good, obviously. You're still close to the stage.
I think, you know, most of the time, Mark, when somebody plays in the round, they're really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, they can get to each of the spots and get in front of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's more appealing.
Yeah.
And again, she's a superstar in that we need the extra space.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to sell it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be in the round or, you know, like Garth was, you know, an end stage 360. But Garth's got it down pat.
Yeah.
And this is something new for her. So we'll see. You know, yeah. It's the first time, you know, I'm going to see her do it. But I'll tell you what, the ticket sales weren't going that far. I mean, we can open up a lot more seats, you know, in 360. But usually the artists are used to it and they can play just about every angle, and it's kind of neat.
There seems to have been a change. I don't know if you notice this when you go to concerts, but so Taylor Swift, great show, and you've mentioned Taylor before, and just she's fantastic at the business and all of that stuff. But I think it was third or fourth row on the floor, and which is great. You're like, this is going to be a perfect seat. And then Taylor spent a lot of her time down the catwalk.
She does.
Kind of playing to the back half of the house. And then you'll see artists that will go play two or three songs at the back. So like the people in the back have a better seat, which is good. That's fair. But is that kind of an industry trend where they're trying to incorporate the back half more than they used to?
I think so. And I mean, that just speaks to Taylor, right? She gets it. She gets her audience and she gets more people engaged. Those people that are totally opposite end of the stage. I mean, some of them, just because of demand, would have loved to have been a lot closer and they're not. And then all of a sudden she comes out and touches them. It's marketing genius and she's solid. I mean, we talked a little bit about Garth Brooks doing six shows, what other artists can do multi-night. Taylor would sell out three or four shows here easy. Pearl Jam would show out multiple nights, sell out multiple nights. So there's a couple artists that are out there that can do that. Nothing like Garth doing the back-to-backs, but yeah, I think some of these artists are smart. Some don't. They tour and they're into their own world, and it is what it is, and the fans will still come. But Taylor's still young, right? And she's still cultivating. I mean, she's going from, man, the first time she played Des Moines, you know, I had a building full of kids that were ranging from 8 to like 12. And like the last time it's changed because she's doing more pop, and she's getting more into the 20 to 30 year olds, and they're coming in now.
Yeah.
And you got to keep doing different stuff to keep them all engaged. You know,
I first saw her, she was opening for George Strait.
Yep.
Then I also saw a young woman by the name of Miranda Lambert press off of her reality show open for George one time too. It's crazy.
Guys, country does it right. I mean, you buy a ticket to a country show and you take a look at some of the support over the years, they're the headliners now. It's like they bring them up, they cultivate them. It's cool too because the ticket prices aren't that high, and then you're like, wow, I got three great acts here, and you feel like you got the value. For country, you almost never feel like you get cheated.
Yeah.
It's important.
One thing I don't get, and Chris, you're the country guy, maybe you have an answer for this, but when you watch award shows, right, compare like the Grammys or some pop award show to the CMAs, and I was watching this, and you know, on the Grammys, you got Nicki Minaj like flicking off Miley, and it's like people aren't clapping for other people, etc. And then you watch the CMAs and it seems like they all like each other.
Yeah.
And maybe that's fake, I don't know, but collectively
they get along.
It seems like a much different thing. But why is it?
They get along. There's a lot of respect there. And a lot of them live in Nashville and they come across each other a lot. But again, it's a lot of this. They've worked with each other, whether it's on the same tour or whatever. Take a look at the example in Des Moines. And this was a tight one. So you have Garth Brooks that's coming in. So he went on sale on the second weekend of March with a play at the end of April. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at like 6 weeks time
quick,
between
quick
goes
turn
on sale.
Time.
But with that, he had a huge protection clause in there because, again, he's based on demand. You don't know if Garth's playing one or two or three or whatever. So it's like I had to have a protection there from any other country act going on sale, you know, until we got Garth going. Garth went and sold out six, and it's like we got the green light to move. So then, boom, you know, we had Carrie Underwood there waiting. We got Carrie Underwood in 2 weeks after the Garth on sale.
Yep.
And then Florida Georgia Line, who's playing a month before Carrie, we got them in 2 weeks later. All of us are in this one circle talking, trying to figure out how to do this, making sure we're not hurting one of the other acts, and it all worked out. You don't get that in rock, guys. You just don't get that kind of cooperation. But they do with country, and that's genuine. You know they're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for us, because I'll tell you what, if it was rock or if it was some kind of other genre, I probably would have lost one of those two shows. But instead, I got a Garth, I got Carrie, and I got Florida Georgia Line, and that's big for us.
Yeah, I think they realize they need each other.
No question.
This is so stereotypical, but like with auto racing, right?
Yep.
It makes total sense for the Iowa Speedway and Knoxville to work together.
It does not
schedule events against one another. And I think it's that kind of blue collar deal where they just realize they need each other to really succeed.
You're right. And Wells Fargo Arena is not the only game in town. Like you talk about other country. Well, right on top of that, in the middle of this, and this is why I'm talking to the state fair and Gary Slater, Lady Annabelle.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got to be smart. And it's like, if you stagger on sales, look, the show dates are what they are. They get a route together, you get picked, they're playing there. But you do have flexibility on when you can go on sale, and it's important. And it's important for us, for me to be talking to a Gary or whatever else is going on. Like, we got a lot of festivals now, and it's very, very important that we're all talking. And it's like, again, it points back to Des Moines and this community and people working together. You don't get this kind of cooperation in a lot of other places.
Because this is a podcast, I got asked that, and I alluded to this earlier, I've got to know, funniest or strangest writer request that you've seen, and you don't have to name names if you choose not to, but
you know,
some of the weirder things that you've seen in this industry.
I'll give an example of an artist just being a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the writers, you know, we've seen some of these crazy requests over the years, and I think when the economy went down, a lot of that stuff stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these shows that were the, like, you know, back in the day, Britney Spears, when she first broke out and was huge, you're talking like 40 trucks and like this crazy rider. Well, guess what? That costs money.
Mm-hmm.
So when the economy went down and these artists had to make some decisions on could they tour, could they not tour, they cut a lot of that crap out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flat out, that's the truth. You get some crazy things from time to time, but not a big deal. But one thing that I'll never forget, I was working a Neil Diamond show in Philadelphia, and this is years ago, and Neil was big. I think he was back-to-back nights in Philly, and he was sold out. And he puts on a great concert.
Yep.
I mean, great concert. But he's a very particular person. He is very particular, and he comes in to, you know, where some artists will either be in a hotel or their tour bus or whatever. He comes into the building first thing in the morning during the load-in, and it's almost like he needs to be entertained. So in our world, we get what is called as a runner, you know, somebody that will run out and get different things for the acts and just run different errands or whatever. Well, for Neil coming in, we had to designate a runner to him the entire time he was there. So we had a guy that was basically just driving him around town and doing different things, and you know, I got a call. Neil came in around 8 o'clock in the morning, and around noon, I got a call saying I needed to find a new runner because Neil had a problem with him. And I'm like, you know, what could this be? I'm like, oh, this is heading down the wrong path. Well, it turned out that Neil did not like the way the runner was looking at him when talking to him. And we had to replace that person. So that's one of the more high maintenance, crazier things I've ever seen. He did not, you know, and the guy that was driving Neil Diamond around was a police officer. You know, so we felt like, all right, he was off-duty police officer. We felt like we needed to get somebody that's very trustworthy and just like top-notch and all that. And that's who this person was.
Yeah.
I guess he had a bad look because he was replaced 4 hours into it.
And here we are playing Sweet Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
Being said, great show. I mean, if that's the worst of it, but that's, you know, you come from time to time, you get stuff like that. Like the Eagles coming to Des Moines, right? They literally fly in. We don't see any of them. There was no meet and greet. There's none of that kind of stuff. They fly in. They walk in the building. They take the stage. Adios.
Yeah.
Right back out. Right on the plane. Gone. Nobody saw them. Nobody talked to them.
Do you meet pretty much everybody that comes in, though?
We do. You know, it's. I would probably say it falls in the category of 85% to 90% of the artists that come in, and they're real good about it. We have a marketing department where, like, we have an internship program where that's what they do with artists coming in. They look up like what they like to do.
Yeah.
And then we present them with an artist gift that we try and be really original. And we've done some cool things over the years because, like, these guys walk into a million buildings and they get the hockey jersey and they get a hat or they get whatever.
Yep.
Well, you know, we try to make it specific. Kenny Chesney comes in and, you know, we get him a bottle of Jack Daniels with his name on it and the play date in Des Moines and, like, all this kind of stuff. Dave Matthews loves craft beer. So we do a map of the United States with a different kind of craft beer cap in each, like, little slot for the states.
Oh, cool.
And then we give them some beer. And it's like, you know, they look at it, and it's like it's a challenge for us to actually try and impress them so they just don't throw it in the corner or don't take it with them.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. We meet them, we present them with a gift, and we genuinely say, hey, thanks for coming to Des Moines and playing the building. And still, you know, again, we talked about all the competition and fighting against these other cities and buildings. We feel like that piece is important. We're treating them well. You know, we're genuinely saying, hey, thank you for coming here.
Yeah.
Here, we spent some time on getting something nice for you. Here you go, rather than just a hockey jersey or whatever else.
Did Garth get an extra nice gift for 6 shows?
Garth got a very nice gift. We got him a collage of different things, just moments in his life that kind of even relate back to here in Iowa. Drake Relays 1984, that was on there. And just his work with Habitat for Humanity and stuff like that. And I think he really liked it.
Awesome. Chris, I know you're a busy guy. Thanks for stopping in.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
It's a departure from a normal podcast, but every once in a while we go the interview route.
Very entertaining.
It's a lot of fun.
Very informative.
You couldn't you know, swing a stick without hitting Garth Brooks news this past week.
Yeah,
it took over the city.
It took over the city. I mean, you talk about the economic development, you know, downtown, yeah, the bars and restaurants, and it's kind of neat to just play a hand in that and be part of it. It's like, man, we're all one team and like we're kicking some butt around here.
Yeah.
And it's Des Moines, you know? Yeah. It's like, man, every year it just seems like the bar keeps going up everywhere. And I'll tell you what, for me, being a person that, you know, is from the East Coast and I started in Philly in the Wells Fargo Center, you know, I'm pretty proud of like what's going on around here and I only see it getting better.
I was going to say, it seems like Central Iowa is starting to get its hooks in you a little bit. you may end up staying here.
I hope so. I love it here. So we'll see. But I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right, Mark. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, probably.
We'll probably get back to more of our shenanigans.
Well, you know, it's the off season, as we like to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gray will be back.
For those of you out there listening, by the way, that miss Gray, just don't listen next week because nobody misses Gray. So
that's a perfect way to end.
Perfect.
Later, dudes.